Stir together 8 ounces of softened cream cheese, 1 cup shredded aged sharp cheddar cheese, 1 cup shredded mild cheddar cheese, 1/2 cup diced pickled papadou peppers, and 1/4 teaspoon cayenne pepper in a medium bowl. Form mixture into 2 balls. Roll each ball into a mixture of 3/4 cups finely chopped smoked almonds and 1/4 cup chopped fresh chives to coat. Cover with plastic wrap and refrigerate 1 hour or up to 1 day. Serve with crackers or celery sticks. How about another one of Mom's dips, a fancy clam dip, active time 10 minutes, total time 1 hour and 10 minutes. It serves 6. Drain 2 6.5-ounce cans of clams. We like Bar Harbor brand, reserving the clam liquor. Stir together the clams and 4 ounces of softened cream cheese in a medium bowl until smooth. Gently stir in 1/2 cup creme fraiche, 1 1/2 tablespoons of grated shallots, 1 teaspoon of lemon zest, 1 tablespoon of lemon juice, 1 teaspoon of Worcestershire sauce, and 1/2 teaspoon of kosher salt. Stir in 1 teaspoon reserved clam liquor. Refrigerate at least 1 hour and up to 8 hours. Garnish with hot sauce and dill. Serve with potato chips. There you have it. That concludes today's reading from Kitchen Capers. This has been Mallie LaPete for the Georgia Radio Reading Service. Thank you for listening to GARS.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American's Business and Oil and Lifestyle sections, followed by Far West Texas News at 7.
This is a Recording Library of West Texas community update.
Both branches of the Midland County Public Library are closed to the public until further notice. To provide services to the community, MCPL is planning to offer curbside services for patrons who make online requests for materials from the catalog. All returned items will be held for 72 hours before being processed. For updates, please check the library's website and Facebook at Tall City Libraries.
If you're a do-it-yourselfer, don't let physical challenges limit your imagination. Each week, the guys on the Blind Handyman answer questions and offer tips on home maintenance and upgrades. The Blind Handyman, direct from Lufkin, Texas. Monday nights at 7, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday nights at 11 on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 51 and partly cloudy. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 30s. Then, tomorrow, a few showers with a high in the mid-50s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 40s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 6 a.m.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Oil and Gas Report of the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, March 29th. Growth flows to water midstream. Rising demand to repurpose produced water fuels XRI's growth. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Increasing demand to recycle and reuse the water produced alongside crude and natural gas has water management companies scaling up to meet that demand. Last spring, Midland-based XRI Holdings LLC acquired the water treatment and recycling division of Fountain Quail Energy Services, creating a wholly owned subsidiary of XRI operating under the Fountain Quail name. John Durand, XRI's president, reflected on the year following the acquisition, its impact on the company, and what he sees looking forward via email with the Reporter Telegram. Question. Let's start with last year's acquisition of Fountain Quail's water treatment and recycling division. Did it give you entry into that arena? Answer. The acquisition of Fountain Quail Water Management, FQWM, has proven to be transformational for XRI as we remain on the leading edge in the constantly evolving water midstream sector. Almost immediately following the acquisition in April 2019, XRI began to integrate FQWM's industry-leading treatment and recycling facilities into our water distribution midstream infrastructure, which currently includes 300 miles of large-diameter buried pipelines located throughout the core areas of the Midland and Delaware basins. This integration allows XRI to enter into long-term takeaway agreements for an operator's produced water and then treat, recycle, and redistribute the treated produced water via our water distribution networks. XRI refers to these facilities as water exchange terminals and allows our company to meet our E&P clients' increasing demand for utilization of treated produced water rather than relying on groundwater sources. Question. How has the recent oil price collapse impacted your business, if at all? Answer. The recent downturn in oil prices has resulted in multi-level engagement and daily briefings and communications with our clients to ensure that we are meeting their needs in a dynamic environment. Given that the majority of our clients fall into the categories of major integrated oil and gas companies and large super independents, we are currently seeing minimal impact to our business to date. As you know, this downturn occurred very unexpectedly, and therefore we are working very methodically and systematically together with our customers to meet these scheduled requirements and respond very quickly should those requirements change. The reality is that our daily communications are strengthening the already strong relationships we enjoy with our clients, with the result being a deeper reliance and trust between ourselves and our customers. It is said that it is impossible to over-communicate, and this change in the commodity price is proving that adage to be true. Question. What are you hearing from customers in terms of what services they're seeking from XRI, and what services or technologies are you seeing being developed? Answer. It appears more than ever that customers are focused on working with trusted partners who are able to provide comprehensive water management solutions, whether that is sourcing supply for hydraulic fracturing, taking away produced water, or treating, recycling, and redistributing produced water, our customers are placing a high level of trust on relationships with water midstream companies with whom they have a successful track record. Given that XRI was a very early entrant into the midstream water space, XRI formed in 2013, we have had the opportunity to build strong relationships and great credibility with customers over the last 7 or so years. That commitment to our customers, coupled with building a very strong and talented team, as well as making investments in technology to stay ahead of the curve, such as the acquisition of FQWM, places us in a unique position in the water midstream sector. Being a first mover, not only in the sector, but also differentiating ourselves with a clear focus on water reuse and recycling, is proving to be a very successful formula for XRI. Question. What I found interesting at the recent Permian Basin Water and Energy Conference was the apparent focus on broadening the market for produced water outside the oil patch, something the EPA is supporting. What might that mean for XRI? Answer. The idea of broadening the market for produced water is meeting with great support both legislatively in Texas as well as federally with programs within both the DOE and EPA who are all focused on seeking ways to find beneficial use for treated produced water in the future. While specific applications and standards are still being explored for beneficial use of treated produced water for potential utilization in the years to come, it is nonetheless exciting to be a part of building large-scale water distribution systems throughout West Texas, which may be able to aid in serving multiple industries well into the future. Oil crash could delay investment in energy transition. This story was written by Mella McEwen. Alongside capital spending and workforce, oil companies' investment in transitioning energy to non-carbon sources may be a casualty of the oil price collapse. Quote, oil and gas companies will need to cut capital spending 41% to break even. This is huge, Valentina Kretschmar, Vice President, Corporate Research at Wood Mackenzie, said during an online conference sponsored by Pink Petro. Quote, the latest assessment of what companies have done in the last couple of weeks is companies have cut their budgets $21 billion, or 28%. That will impact the embryonic energy transition efforts oil companies have made over the last couple of years. If crude oil prices were $35 a barrel, about $10 above current levels, she said 75% of projects awaiting final investment decisions won't cover the cost of the capital expenditures. And at that price level, she said renewable energy projects can easily compete with oil and gas projects. The investment rate of return on oil and gas projects has plunged from 21% to 6%, in line with low-risk renewable projects, she said. The short-term drop in emissions caused by the decline in economic activity may accelerate pressure for changes in how the world receives its energy, said Anna Howell, co-chair, Global Oil and Gas Practice at Gibson, Dunn and Crutcher Law Firm. Oil and gas companies are well suited to research and develop new technologies to improve the environmental footprint in industrial activity, she said. Quote, but will they do so now with capital reductions in place? Hopefully, there will be opportunities for players to come together as oil prices pick up. Kretschmar said investors, consumers, and regulators will play an important role moving forward because of their concerns about climate change. Even as oil and gas companies cut their budgets, which affects efforts at carbon reduction, quote, the energy transition will not go away, end quote. Howell said her law firm already has seen momentum on the legal side toward energy transition, and she doesn't expect it to wane as the industry comes out the other side of the price downturn, quote, and we will come out the other side, end quote. Oil prices may remain low long-term as a result of the energy transition rather than as the one-off result of the economic impact of COVID-19 or the market share clash between Saudi Arabia and Russia, said Kretschmar. No one wants to see the oil and gas industry broken, she said. We need the security of those supplies. End quote. Midkiff Farmer, Encore Green, Team on Produced Water Project. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Amid talk of trying to expand the market for the water that's produced alongside crude oil and natural gas beyond the oil patch, one company is putting its words into action. Wyoming-based Encore Green Environmental had visited the Produced Water Society Permian Basins Conference last August to promote its idea of pairing the oil and gas and agriculture industries, sparking the interest of Cody Wilson and his S&S Wilson Farms in Midkiff. Today, the two are moving forward with a project that will treat produced water for use in irrigating the cotton on Wilson's farm, as well as producing electricity that can be sold back into the electric grid. It's all done by cleaning the produced water to match the surrounding soil, then using concentrated solar power to turn that water into steam, which drives a turbine to generate electricity to power the equipment. The steam is then turned back into water to irrigate the crops. Marvin Nash with Encore Green said feasibility study is currently underway to determine the financing, what equipment is needed for the project, and how that equipment should be configured. He said the project is proceeding despite the downturn in the oil and gas industry and in the global economy because of the coronavirus pandemic, which has prevented representatives of the engineering firm Aalborg CSP in Denmark from traveling to the U.S. to work on the project. Quote, "The interesting thing going forward is there will be a bigger demand as producers try to figure out what to do with their water," Nash said in a phone interview. Continuing the quote, "Even if we used every barrel of water for drilling purposes, that's only using 12%. Today, Cody is stepping up and saying, let's use the other part," end quote. Wilson said the need for water isn't going to go away because of the economic downturn. Quote, "The oil industry and the U.S. market as a whole have taken a nosedive, but I'm still excited about the project. I'm still excited about the possibilities. Oil and gas will be back," Wilson said. Selling the electricity back into the grid, along with disposal fees charged to producers, will be the farm's primary revenue stream out of the project, Wilson said in a phone interview. He said other revenues will come from selling to oil and gas companies or even municipalities the fresh water derived from treating the produced water. Using the water that is a byproduct of drilling activity, quote, "sends a message to the environmental community to look at areas where activity has had a negative impact on water," Nash said. "Oil and gas not only has to use the water, but can use it cleanly," end quote. Nash and Wilson said the Danish engineering company working with the two parties on the project is the only one with the ability to merge desalination and production on a commercial scale. Nash said others will be watching how the project proceeds on Wilson's family farm in Midkiff. Already, he said, a major oil field services company has been talking with his team about what they could provide to the effort. Agreed Wilson, quote, "When things calm down, and they will, there is a lot of money on the sidelines that people will want to invest. They like the idea of cleaning the world and making it better. This isn't just agriculture. This isn't just oil and gas. This has a real purpose, a real payback," end quote.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, March 29, 2020. Permian Basin Better Business Bureau. Scammers target those working from home. With many businesses permitting its employees to work from home, and others required to buy shelter-in-place orders, these workers are at risk of being targeted by scammers. For example, employees transitioning from an office setting to their home may find themselves vulnerable to tech support scams. With limited IT resources available from a home office, employees may attempt to solve technical issues themselves when confronted with pop-ups and viruses. One Texas consumer reported on BBB Scam Tracker losing nearly $250 to a tech support scam in early March, stating that a pop-up appeared after their computer froze. The pop-up instructed the consumer to contact a company that claimed to be affiliated with Apple. The consumer purchased a policy from the company and never heard from them again. Another concern for employees transitioning to a work-from-home environment is business email compromise, BEC scams. BEC scams impersonate emails from your boss or employer, and while these fraudulent emails are often used to request large payments to vendors via wire transfer, scammers may change their approach. As more employees move to home offices, compromised business emails may be used to request payments from employees for things such as reimbursements or work equipment to be used at home. Additionally, employees who recently lost their job may find opportunities advertised as work from home. These consumers are especially vulnerable to employment scams, which has been ranked the top riskiest scam in both the 2018 and 2019 Scam Tracker Risk Report. A common red flag of employment scams is the opportunity to work from home. However, as more employers practice social distancing and require employees to work from home, differentiating between legitimate and fraudulent job opportunities will become more difficult. Certain jobs, such as secret shoppers, are more likely to be employment scams. One Austin resident reported a secret shopper opportunity to BBB Scam Tracker on March 19. She said, "They also expected people to go out and be a secret shopper if a store was open amidst a pandemic. Scammers are actively at work. They're not taking any breaks." Another job commonly advertised for employment scams involves a consumer receiving an item, repackaging it, and shipping the item with the promise of being reimbursed as well as being paid. Many consumers fall victim to reshipping scams because of the promise of high hourly wages and the ability to work from home. Texas consumers reported reshipping scams to BBB Scam Tracker in early March, losing $1,905 each. While working from home and watching to see how the situation surrounding the COVID-19 outbreak develops, use these tips from Better Business Bureau serving the heart of Texas to avoid falling victim to scams. Be aware of unusual procedures, job offers without interviews, and employers that overpay you and ask you to wire back the difference are red flags of employment scams. You should watch out for companies that promise opportunities or high income if you pay them for training. Check official job postings. Scammers often use emails, social media, or online job boards to reach targets. If a job posting seems too good to be true, go to the company's or employer's website and check their career page directly. If a website is charging you for information about a job opening, it is probably a scam. Set up work-from-home IT policies. If your employees are moving to home offices, establish a plan to help them with technical problems they may face. Instruct them on who they should contact and who to avoid for tech support. A plan can protect your employees from having their personal and professional information compromised. Maintain office billing policies at home. One of the best ways to combat business email compromise scams is to set a policy requiring employees to confirm payment requests in person or over the phone, rather than over email. If the employees that handle billing are working from home, have them maintain these policies by calling to confirm any payment requests made by email. Review safety practices with employees. As your employees are working from home, remind them of the best practices to avoid scams. Practices such as avoiding clicking on pop-ups or links in unsolicited emails. Make sure they know tech support professionals would never call them unless they had requested assistance first. For more information, contact Heather Massey, Senior Regional Director for the Permian Basin Office of Better Business Bureau at 741-2592 or hmassey@permianbasin.bbb.org.
The Economist by M. Ray Perryman, head of the Perryman Group and professor at the International Institute for Advanced Studies. coronavirus will cost the U.S. economy billions. The disruptions caused by the coronavirus are wreaking havoc on individuals, families, the private and public sectors, the healthcare system, and the economy and society as a whole. In order to flatten the curve and prevent a major spike in infections, drastic measures have been taken. The inevitable result has been and likely will continue to be a strong shock to the economy. Many factors will determine the ultimate effects of the coronavirus on the economy, most of which are highly uncertain at present and will no doubt be different when you hear this than they are as I am writing it. The length and severity of the outbreak, the nature and magnitude of the policy response, and the capacity of businesses to resume normal activities are among myriad phenomena that will play a significant role. To provide a perspective on the magnitude of potential losses, we developed a plausible scenario for the ultimate effects based on a variety of public and private source materials, including, among others, data from sectors that have been particularly affected, information from areas where the pandemic spread earlier, as well as prior pandemics and natural disasters, performance patterns in other economic downturns and recoveries, and historical responses to oil price fluctuations. Reasonable measures of potential direct effects by detailed industrial category were used in our dynamic and integrated econometric and impact assessment systems to determine total economic costs of COVID-19 throughout the economy. We estimate that the COVID-19 pandemic could cost the U.S. economy approximately $972.6 billion in real gross product and 11.4 million jobs on an annual basis, with many more individuals being affected for a portion of the year. Losses would be spread across the economy, affecting virtually every industry, although there are a few exceptions. These results assume that some of the anticipated downstream losses will be dampened through aggressive monetary and fiscal policy measures, such as the recent stimulus package. The ultimate outcomes will obviously be different than these projections, but they provide a guideline for planning and expectations. More detailed results by industry are provided at perrymangroup.com. All of us here at the Perryman Group hope you are safe and well. We are following the COVID-19 situation carefully and take your need for information very seriously. We are analyzing the economic effects on an ongoing basis and will post everything that we generate as a public service at perrymangroup.com. Clearly, unlike many economic issues, much of the solution to this situation must come from the health and biosciences sectors. The physical well-being of the population is of paramount concern, yet the economic consequences must also be aggressively addressed. Onward.
Hello, this is Michael. I'm reading from the Odessa American's Sunday, March 29th edition. Here is the regular column by Dennis Ellum. Oil prices still pressured. Never let a crisis go to waste. Quote by Rahm Emanuel, former Chicago mayor. Oil prices have fallen again this morning to $21.73, down almost a dollar from yesterday. And no wonder. The energy industry is reeling from lack of demand and too much supply. And the supply situation is only getting worse. Echoing Rahm's sentiment, the Saudis are planning on expanding oil production by 2.5 million barrels a day in April. Russia is still refusing to cut output. This is a continuing push to stamp out U.S. shale production. The Texas Railroad Commission is considering limiting production in the state, but at a time when companies are pressed for cash, That will only continue the pressure the industry is enduring. The Democrats in Congress responded in kind, packing jet engine emissions and $25 million for the Kennedy Center into the $2 trillion stimulus package. The really bad news is that future attempts to throttle this kind of waste back will result in shouts that the Republicans are engaging in cruel, latest word for ours, cuts to consumers. The $600 per week added to the unemployment package will result in some making more than if they were working. That occurred during the 2008 recession and was a reason the recovery was so slow. President Trump will cease using the phrase China virus. China complained of that label, though the problem clearly started in their country. With 3.28 million unemployment claims there, can be no doubt we are in a recession. Generally, that is two quarters of economic contraction. Around the world, social mood trends negative, with finger pointing about the cause and location of the virus and energy demand. One can read the statistics on this slowdown just about anywhere. The only real cure is not spending $2 trillion Congress did not have. Rather, everyone needs to go back to work in spite of government-mandated shutdowns. And yes, there are deaths from this coronavirus, but every year about 23,000 die from some sort of flu. I am wondering how the danger of random exposure will affect future behavior. Will the cruise, airline, hotel, restaurant, and movie industries be permanently affected? What about the already declining retail shopping malls? It seems reasonable to expect that individuals will be more reluctant to quickly begin gathering again, and that in itself will